Ciao, benvenuto ad un nuovo episodio. Sono Michaela Cojocaru e non vedo l'ora di condividere con te tante interessanti novità sul mondo del vino. Pertanto, versati un bicchiere del tuo vino preferito e rilassati. Hi everyone, thanks for joining me. I have a special guest tonight, a WCT colleague directly from Calgary, Alberta. I'm happy to introduce you to Evelyn Chartier, wine writer and wine expert. Hi, Evelyn. How are you?
Hi, Michaela. It's so nice to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for your time. I know you are very busy, so I double thank you for this interview.
Oh, honestly, it's my pleasure.
Thank you. Can you share with us how you started the journey in the wine industry?
Absolutely. So I've always had an interest in wine. For me, it was always in my life. I'm French Canadian, and so it was always around. And so I, you know, would drink wine throughout, you know. But it was in 2016 that I started taking WSET courses, and I really realized that there's a lot more to this that I hadn't been exposed to. So I kept, at the time I was working as an engineer in the industry, energy industry. And from there, you know, I was just taking these courses in parallel. But then COVID hit, and of course, oil prices went down to negative whatever. And I was on contract. And so my contract got ended early. At the time, I was in the Okanagan, which is a wine region in Canada, in Western Canada. And I thought I need to be doing something. So I took a job at a winery, and then I started thinking of taking the diploma, which would, of course, as you know, elevate my opportunities from that point.
I know you are a wine writer for Shades of Grape, and I would like to know more about what aspects of the writing do you find more enjoyable?
I really enjoy learning, right? So this is keeping me sharp, because as you know, we study a lot for this diploma, right? That I completed in August. But I'm starting to forget some of the facts. And what I love is that this is keeping me sharp. And of course, I'm continuing to learn beyond. So I actually have to hold myself back because I'm so passionate about this that I start going into rabbit holes, and then it takes me way too long to write what I need to write. And you know, I have other things to do in my life, but I have to say I'm so passionate about it that it's I have to keep myself in check. So I really enjoy the learning, and I enjoy the research and etc. Yeah, and of course the feedback from the people is amazing as well, right? Because like with any, apparently with any creative content, they say that you never really know what people will enjoy and what they might not. And it's not necessarily our favorite stuff. So that's also been really interesting.
It's a journey, no? Because it's always like that, no? And the energy that comes back from the work, no? It's amazing. How would you describe the perception of Italian wines among Canadian consumers? Are there any particular Italian wine regions or styles that resonate particularly well in Canada?
Yeah, it's interesting because I wrote a post about a month ago about how North Americans, Canadians included, really, really enjoy Italian wines. And, you know, I was saying how it's hard to know what my public will like. And I definitely get really, really large acceptance of the Italian wines. And I work in a retail store as well. And we do have access to a lot of beautiful Italian wines. And I think part of it is that our Italian, Chamber of Commerce is just really strong. Yeah. So we get a lot of really good producers, and they come and visit us. So just this week, I saw someone from Brunello, right? She was born in Bulgaria and all that. It's really big for us, and we get access to beautiful wines. So Super Tuscans are always very popular. And the Brunellos and the Montalcino and the Rossos di Montalcino. So those, I would say, are the
Tuscany, mostly.
Tuscany mostly. And the next one would be Piemonte. So the Barolos, the Barbarescos, yes.
Nobody likes Amarone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I feel maybe it's the price point that we get them at. It would be, I don't get it necessarily every day, right? People, that's a Christmas, you know, that's a special occasion wine. Yeah.
With the global wine market evolving, do you believe that the Made in Italy label still holds significant value for consumers in Canada?
I want to say yes, especially because we have really nice Sicilian wines as well. Mm-hmm. And so those come at an amazing price point. So of course, and people are seemingly willing to pay for the Brunellos, which are at a more expensive price. You know, I was talking about Amarone being expensive, but
Brunello's too, I guess, better.
Huh? So I see it continuing. We get so much excitement when it comes to the Italian wines. Yeah, it's interesting.
Can you tell me something about any emerging trends in preferences among Canadian wine consumers? That is something that they search mostly these days.
You know, talking about Italian wines, Prosecco is always a big hit for us, for sure. And then what else? Red wines. Particularly in winter, right? It's winter here, of course. And it might be because of our food culture. It's definitely more full body wines. So that's very,
easy to pair, no? More structured wines, no?
Exactly. So I so often I hear that people are not necessarily attracted to white wines. And yet we're getting amazing, like really amazing white wines from, you know, we're focusing on Italy here, and like Lazio, we have this Bellone, which is a indigenous white grape, which is so good. We had La Spinetta, their Vermentino is just delicious. So we're trying to get people to try it. Right? Oh, okay. Doesn't need to be with a meal. And so there is definitely more and more engagement in that category as well.
Okay. Yeah. Do you do also tastings in your shop where you work in order to make a taste and no? I know that Alberta is a free market. It's different than...
It's not 100% free market, but the stores are privatized.
Oh, okay. So there's a chance to import directly.
That's right. And so the government control is that whenever, you know, there's exceptions for importers for samplings, etc. But when a wine enters Alberta, it needs to go to one central point, which is managed through the government. So, but absolutely, we get access to way better wines than the rest of our...
We're lucky. Yeah, I knew it was free, no? So it's really nice, no, to talk about it with somebody who really lives it, no? Every day.
Yeah, I feel really lucky.
Nice, no? Especially when you are a wine lover. Maybe when you don't know about it, it's easier to choose because somebody chose for you, no? But when you want to explore, maybe, no, it's not so such a good idea.
Yeah,
no?
So have 100%.
As a wine communicator, Evelyn, what role do you think, do you believe education plays in shaping consumers' perceptions and preferences?
Yeah, it's a lot, right? It's so high. And I think that's where, again, my passion comes from, right? I hear so many people have these perceptions of either certain wines or certain grapes or certain countries, right? Mm-hmm. I really like wines from Priorat. Which people have not heard of that much. It's a relatively small area. And there was a period of 100 years that, very few wines were being produced from there. And so, you know, people will say, no, I don't drink Spanish wines. And I'm doing some private, like personal curation of wine. And so I'll just say, you know, do you trust me? Like, can I put...
You play this card.
And I mean, I ask them permission, right? But I say, you know, I always flog it as, I just want to understand your palate, right? Okay. And sure enough, you know, a week later, 5 days later, whatever, after they've received the wines, it's like, that wine was beautiful. This was a Priorat in particular. This happened just this week. And then he pops in yesterday at the store. And
buying some more, no?
Yeah. Right. And so in his mind, he used to only drink American wines, and then he went to visit Tuscany, and now he only wants to drink Italian wines. And then I said, okay, let's have fun here.
Let's grow the nap, no?
Yeah. And so, so part of it is, for him, he didn't really understand Grenache, which is, or Garnacha, which is one of their main grapes. And and he really likes red fruit dominant wines, right? So my articles. And so I think through that, it's just making him more open and understanding his palate more, right?
Yeah.
Because if someone doesn't understand their palate, right, they might keep mm-hmm. getting disappointed, but it's because they're not necessarily asking for the right wines, right? So I try to emphasize using the right terminology, right? Like I want to write an article on, big reds. Well, what does that mean? Like for some people, it's high alcohol. For others, it's high tannins. For others, it's a lot of fruit, structure. Right? Yeah. So it's just interesting, right? These terms. So yeah, so to answer your question, I think that education is a big part. Otherwise, people just stick to what they know or maybe the cheapest price point within the quality category that they're willing to pay for. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then they will think that that's wine, because they don't allow themselves to explore more, and to understand what wine world has to offer.
That's right. And that's where the tastings come in as well, right? Then that's part of education too, right? Because it's the wine is experiential. Right?
Yeah,
it's,
for sure.
It's how we interact with it. Yeah.
And you said a nice thing that I'm talking now nowadays with the Italian guests I have. It's about the simplification of the terminology, no? How do you explain wines for normal people? Do you try to educate them with the terms we use, or you try to be as simple as possible?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an issue, no?
How does it
happen in Canada?
Yeah.
How it's do actually, they react?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because that's actually another huge challenge for me, right? I actually spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to use things simply, right? Because you only have attention for, you only have people's attention for so long, right? When people are reading, they want to get to it. So for example, so to answer your question, I try not to use our terms just because it does create confusion. Of course, I have to use terms like tannins, and
it's a characteristic, no? So
yeah,
I believe in the simplification, but I believe that every sector has its own words, no? Like if we want to talk with a lawyer, we will have to say, I don't know, law or a contract or no.
Yeah.
Even though you try to use words more simple, but yet you still have to remain in your sector, because otherwise there will be any kind of education, I believe. So
yeah.
I like the simplification, but not too much, no?
That's right.
I don't know if this happens. For example, in Italy, there is this thing about the Prosecco, that it's so famous that people believe that every sparkling wine, except champagne, because they know it, it's Prosecco. I want a Prosecco from Apulia. I want a Prosecco from Sicily. I want a Prosecco. No, it's only from Veneto, Friuli, and it's only from that appellation. So need to educate a bit. No? So I wanted to know if there is also this kind of an issue also.
Yeah, it's interesting. Canada. It's 100% the same, right? Yeah, apparently it's cross-cultural. And so then I always want to know, so am I bringing them only to the Prosecco region? Are they are they interested in knowing more? Do they want, right? And so you gauge, sometimes they just say, well, no, I just thought that Prosecco was a sparkling wine. They kind of know about champagne, but that freaks them out, right? And so, of course, then I ask about price point as well. But when I bring them to the non-champagne, we have a really big champagne section, which is amazing. But if they don't want to pay champagne prices, I then bring them to our other section. And, you know, the right hand side is all the Proseccos and the left hand side is the traditional method. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of, you know, and that's where I kind of broach the question. So do you, and I don't use our terminology of tank method, because for most people, tank method, they just kind of look at me like, it doesn't sound very appealing. I am trying to sell wine, eh? So I say, do you know the difference between Prosecco method and champagne method or traditional method, right? And then they look, I don't know, you know? And so then I quickly kind of explain it. And sometimes they say, nope, I want to stick to Prosecco. And other times they're like, well, I like champagne, just didn't want to spend much. So that's a perfect example of the whole terminology as well, and the popularity of Prosecco, like, good for them, right?
Yeah they did a good job. No, good marketing, communication, guys. We need to learn from them and do the same.
Agreed.
I wanted to ask you one more thing. In Italy, for example, or the entire world, is this new trend for the moderation, low or no alcohol wines. Is this the same in Canada? What do you think? Do you have shelves dedicated to this low and no alcohol wines?
Yes. Yeah, it's a small section.
Okay, yeah.
Mainly because, so we are a fine wine store, and so we want everything that we have on our shelves to be very good. Mm-hmm. And so it is, and I mean, there's four of us who work in the store. We're avid wine drinkers. And so, yeah, we struggle with some of them, right? Okay. Some of the non-alc or low-alc wines. And so we're wanting them not to be, because a lot of times they've added a lot of sugar to create more body, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's too sweet, we don't want it on ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Just not for us. It's just not, by the way, in Canada, we want it to be representative. Most people do not want sweet wines right now. So again, that's kind of a world trend. Mm-hmm. Although we have a lot of Ukrainian immigrants right now. They all want really sweet wines. So that's interesting. So we're trying
Eastern
to
Europe. Yes. I also love white sweet wine. So
So we're starting to try to cater to that as well. But in general, that's been our thing. So yes, we have a section, and we do ask our reps to try to bring us, you know, whenever they're getting new products. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have a section in the refrigerator, and then we have a section for that. So yeah, it comes up a lot, and people are quite excited about it. So, and before my Shades of Grape Substack, I did have kind of a WhatsApp, and that was a hot topic again. And so,
Of course.
I mean, it's good, you know, everything in balance, right?
Yeah, for sure. Everybody, you know, needs to have what they want. So it's important also, no, to have it, even though, as many say, I have never tasted it. A very good low alcohol, yes, but no alcohol wine, very good. I didn't find yet
a
bottle that I could freely recommend, no, or I would feel confident to recommend it to other people.
Yeah. But,
you know, it's just a personal opinion.
Yeah, and it might evolve. Like, we might figure it out. Humans are amazing.
Yeah, that's for sure. No, it's an evolution, everything. Mm-hmm. Before we close, Evelyn, I would like to ask you an advice. And I mean to the Italian wineries seeking to establish a presence and connect with Canadian wine enthusiasts.
My initial reaction is, like, keep doing what you're doing. So right? Like, they're coming, like this afternoon, I have a meeting with Brunello, import manager. And I mean, they come to our wineries, they spend time with us. They have such a warm personality, right? So, I mean, they're doing such a huge favor for their product and their nation. And the history. And so they're allowing us to taste the wines. They're very generous with that. And they make time for us. They work hard when they're here. So I would say keep doing what they're doing. right? Mm-hmm. Like, so we'll have some of our higher end customers sometimes pop into the store at the same time as they're there. Again, generous, and they'll let them taste the wine, right? So I've had, there's a gentleman from Tuscany who connected with me on LinkedIn, right? Mm-hmm. And says, hey, can we work together? And then I said, well, I can't, I'm not, and his wines weren't here, by the way. So I connected him with an importer that I really respect. And so the wines are here. I'm meeting the importer this afternoon and we're going to be tasting some of those wines.
Right? Wow, amazing, no?
Yeah. And so you could tell he was skeptical. He thought I was blowing him off on LinkedIn. Right? And that's the beauty of the wine world.
We also met on LinkedIn, no? And now we are here. And no?
Right? I know. This is how, it's amazing. Like when you,
yeah. I love the wine world. Really?
I know. Yeah. So I did my training in Austria. And so I went to the school in Rust. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so I've had so many amazing connections through my fellow students, and that just keeps feeding with their connections, et cetera. So yeah, when you suggested this, I was very game. I was really excited. So thank you so much.
But thank you so much, Evelyn, for telling us so many insights about your market, about your life. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I hope we will meet in person sometime. I don't know.
Me too.
Maybe I'll come to Canada or when you come.
That would be amazing.
You may never know.
I will welcome you with open arms.
Super. Thank you so much. Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Intanto ti auguro un bellissimo weekend e non scordarti, sii curioso e assaggia sempre qualcosa di nuovo. Salute, alla prossima!